Inshallah, we'll have a very short and brief lesson of hadith. We're requested to inshallah participate. You finish your sunnahs, requested to come closer to the front inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers and elders. Last week we started this chapter in Riyadh al-Salihin, which was titled The Chapter of the Rights of the Neighbor والوصية به, and the advice of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in regards to fulfilling the rights of one's neighbor. So we mentioned a few ahadith last week, so today I'll just carry on from where we left off inshaAllah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن. قيل من يا رسول الله؟ قال الذي لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. متفق عليه. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned والله لا يؤمن. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is taking an oath, a qasam in this hadith. I swear by Allah that person is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats this statement three times. Wallahi la yu'minu, wallahi la yu'minu, wallahi la yu'minu. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. Qila man ya Rasulullah. The Sahaba asked, who are you referring to, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When you are saying that you are taking an oath in the name of Allah and you are stating that a person is not a believer, a person is not a mu'min. Something very serious. And the Sahaba knew the noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he would mention anything important, he would repeat it three times. And this was to grip the attention of the people, grip the focus of the people. And many times what happens is when something is mentioned once, that information is not retained, or half of that information is retained. But when that same statement is repeated three times, then the person in front, even if they were daydreaming, or even if they were not paying full attention, still they will pick up what the speaker is trying to say. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many times we find in his noble life, if he was about to mention an important statement, he would repeat it three times. So here he's mentioned this question three times, or he mentioned this statement three times. So the Sahaba are intrigued. So they say, Ya Rasulullah, who are you referring to? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds, الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. The person whose neighbor is not safe from his mischief. A person who has a neighbor, and that neighbor is not safe from the harm caused by that person. Meaning that person causes harm to his neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking a qasam, an oath in the name of Allah three times, and saying he is not a mu'min. Someone who causes inconvenience to their neighbor. This community, this society, our people, unfortunately, last week I was mentioning, we have this tendency that if many times if we have a Muslim neighbor, again, many people don't even care about this, whether he's Muslim or non-Muslim. But many times some people have this tendency that if the neighbor is from our culture, our background, our religion, we give them a degree of respect. And if the neighbor is not from our religion, or the neighbor has many differences with us, sometimes we can have neighbors who do things that we dislike or displease. So then we always think, how can I get that person back? Or if anything happens to that person, we say it's good that happened. Why? Because that person's always giving me grief. We need to look at the life of the pious people, how they dealt with their neighbors. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's neighbor was Abu Lahab, his uncle. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, many times his own aunt, meaning the wife of Abu Lahab, would give him such harm and inconvenience. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never respond and react to this. Last week I mentioned the incident of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu anhu, whose neighbor was selling his house. And when he was selling his house, he was saying, I am selling my house for, I think, 2,000 dinars. Someone said, your house is only worth 1,000 dinars. And he said, yes, you're right. And the neighbor was Jewish. He wasn't even a Muslim. So the Jewish neighbor is selling his house, and he's saying, my house is on the market for 2,000 dinars. People were questioning, your house is only worth 1,000 dinars. Why are you putting the price up so much? So why are you being so extortionate? So this Jewish neighbor, he responds and he says, 1,000 dinars is for the house, and 1,000 dinars is because your neighbor is going to be Abdullah bin Mubarak. If I was to leave my house and go somewhere else, I wish I could have taken my neighbor with me, but obviously I don't have a say in the matter. So all of these days that I've lived here, I have benefited so much from having this neighbor. That's the reason why the value of the price, the value of the house has increased. People would, this is how the behavior of the pious people would be towards their neighbors. And this neighbor is not even a Muslim. So we have this problem, unfortunately. Many times Ramadan is coming, people will give food to their Muslim neighbors. You know, Muslim neighbors, who's the Muslim neighbors? This person, send some iftar to these houses. What about the non-Muslim neighbors? Have they forfeited the right of a neighbor by being a non-Muslim? Last week we talked about the ayat of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. That in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala encourages us in the Quran to fulfill the rights of the neighbor. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith that a neighbor has three rights: the right of Islam, the right of being a family member, and the right of just being your neighbor. They don't need to be a Muslim, they don't need to be related to you, but just because they are a neighbor to you, they live close to you. And we also mentioned how close the person has to be a neighbor. Does anyone remember that distance? 40 houses. Someone who is 40 houses in front of a lives in 40 houses in front of a person, 40 houses behind, 40 houses to the right, to the left, these are all regarded as neighbors. Now the minimum right of the neighbor is that we do not give him any inconvenience. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu used to mention minimum rights of the neighbor. Last week we talked about the minimum rights of the neighbor is that when they fall sick, you visit them. When they go through any bad situation, any difficult situation, you go them and you are a shoulder for them to lean on. If they go through a happy time, a good time, then you go and congratulate them. And you congratulate them, you give them mubarakbad. That mashallah, well done, congratulations. Or, you know, you express happiness for their happiness. If they ask of you to borrow any money and you have the ability to do so, lend them money. If they are in a situation where they are hungry and they need food, provide food for them. And if they, when they pass away, then go with their janazah and go to their relatives, express your condolences. These are the minimum rights of the neighbor, regardless of the background of that neighbor. Muslim, non-Muslim, these are the rights, the haqq of the neighbor. I know a neighbor of mine who lives close to me is going through a situation. I have to. This is something Allah has made wajib upon me, to go and inquire, is everything okay? Is there anything I can do? This is the minimum we can say. This is the minimum we can say. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the worst person is the one who harms their neighbor. Does not fulfill any of the rights. Forget fulfilling any of the haqq. They go on the other side, which is harming their neighbor, causing harm to their neighbor. Our people do it all the time. We live in a country, a non-Muslim country. We know many people go to sleep very early and they wake up very early for work. So I need to think at night time, how much noise am I making? Sometimes you go into some people's houses and you can just hear the loud shouting in the other house, going on to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Now me as a neighbor, I need to have sabr and patience. But the person who is making that noise, if that's me, late in the night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I'm having my parties and I'm shouting and I'm making noise, and my mind is not even going through towards the fact, or that thought is not crossing my mind, maybe my neighbor is trying to sleep. Then I need to ask myself this question, am I causing harm to my neighbor? If I am, then I fall under the zumrah, into the category of this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Wallahi la yu'min. I swear by Allah, he is not a mu'min. I take an oath by Allah, he is not a mu'min, three times. Someone whose neighbor is not harmed from their mischief. They are always causing inconvenience, taklif, harm, grief to their neighbors. So the next hadith, all of these hadith are related to the rights of the neighbors. The next hadith is narrated by, again, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who mentions, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned, يا نساء المسلمات. This advice of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is directed to the women folk, to the female Muslims, to the female companions. Rasulullah is saying صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا نساء المسلمات, O women folk of the Muslims. لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها ولو فرس نشات. No neighbor should disregard the gift of another neighbor, even if it is فرس نشات. Means فرس is the part of a leg of a sheep, so it's a very it's not something that someone normally consumes or eats, so it's a very inferior part of the sheep. So even if your Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, even if your neighbor sends you something which is not a very expensive gift, a very simple gift, don't disregard it. Isko haqir mat samjo. Don't disregard it and start saying, why did this person send this? What am I going to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this? Our people have this habit. And not just the women folk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising the women folk, we have this habit. And not just with our neighbors. If someone gives me a gift, I'm thinking, how much did they spend on this gift that they gave to me? If it's something simple, then in my heart, even if I say, Alhamdulillah, he gave me a gift, in my heart I'm feeling this discontent. Could he not afford something better? Could he not have spent another couple of pounds and gone to this shop? He could have got this. What am I supposed to do with this? And then many times we even say it. So this is something which is expressing extreme ingratitude. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, the value is never on the item. The value is on the niyyah. So if your neighbor had the best of intentions, that I want to present a gift to my neighbor, we have no idea what situation a person is going through, how much they can afford, how much they can spend. We have no idea. I may look outside and say, the guy can afford to drive this kind of car, or he's giving me this kind of gift. I have no idea what his current circumstances are. How can I come to conclusions? This is the worst thing that we have, our biggest problem, the su'ul dhan, thinking bad about people straight away. Straight away, like we don't even need a reason. Our mind is going to go to jumping to conclusions, to try and find a reason why that person is, look at that person in negative light. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. O you who have brought iman, stay away from bad, evil opinions. Stay away from dhann. Don't assume things. Don't assume things until you verify them. But in this situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, many times the women folk have the habit, neighbors are sending gifts to each other. One neighbor sends something, and the sister is saying, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't do anything with this. Why are they bothering sending me this? I'm going to chuck this in the bin, or even my children can't eat this. So we should never say anything. We should accept it, and if I don't need it, give it in hadiyah to somebody else. If I don't need it or have no use for it, give it as a gift to somebody else. And don't think negatively of the person. Don't disregard the person. Why are we doing such? And that's where the famous story is mentioned in Hayat Sahaba, where the head of an animal was sent to one of the Sahaba's house. He sent it to his neighbor's house. He sent it to his neighbor's house, and they passed it on. So if a gift is sent to me, which I do not need, give that gift on to somebody else. Why do I then need to start thinking, I have to use this, I have no use for it, so I'm going to become upset with the person who sent me that gift? Why do we need to think like this? We have our teachers and our mashayikh. Many times we've seen people giving them so many jubbas. How many jubbas are they supposed to wear? Someone gives them a jubba, two jubbas, three jubbas. Now if they have 500 students and every student is giving them a jubba, how many jubbas are they going to wear? So they end up giving hadiyah. My father-in-law, I've seen him doing this many times. Most of the time when I go there, he always says, do you need this jumper? He just gave me a hadiyah because people are giving him gifts all the time. So if someone gives me a gift, if I have use for it, I'll use it. I'll express shukr to the person, gratitude to the person, and gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. Maybe it's something that I needed, and Allah Ta'ala has provided for it. And if I don't have any need for it, give it to somebody else. Maybe that person needs it. Maybe I become the reason why that person, he needed something, and I have become the means through which that person has received that item. The next hadith, again, is mentioned by Sayyidina, narrated again by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَمْنَعُ جَارٌ جَارَهُ أَنْ يَغْرِزَ خَشَبَةً فِي جِدَارِهِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهِ لَأَرْمِيَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ أَكْتَافِكُمْ. This hadith is narrated again by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima, who mention that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that no neighbor should stop his neighbor from planting a branch in his wall. So, many times we have two houses, and in between the home there is a wall, which is the partition, dividing the gardens or dividing the lands or properties of both people. So that wall is shared property. And the other side of the wall, the side which belongs to my neighbor is his, and the side which belongs to mine is mine. So I can do whatever I want to on my side of the property. But many times what happens is we build or construct certain certain things on our side which are very high up, and many times it blocks the sunlight from going into my neighbor's side, so it can inconvenience them in a certain way. But in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying no neighbor should stop his neighbor from planting a branch on his side of the wall, meaning it's my property, I have the right to do with it as I wish. So this hadith was narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah because he used to see, radiallahu anhu, that some people, one neighbor wants to build a certain construction or do something on his side of the wall. The other neighbor would say, it's not fair, it's not right. You're not fulfilling my rights. My right is that you ask me before you build that construction. So he mentioned this hadith and he said, no neighbor can stop his neighbor from building or doing something on his side of the wall. It's his right, it's his land, it's his property. So because the people that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned this hadith to, they became quite upset. You know, if we tell our neighbor, do whatever you want on your side, many times he's going to block out the sunlight, many times he might be a bit inconsiderate towards myself. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah became very upset radiallahu anhu, and this was his nature. If he would ever mention a hadith and he would see someone unhappy with the content of that hadith because it goes against maybe what they're trying to do, he'd become very angry. And he'd say, it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you're questioning it. So he'd said, مَا لِي أَرَاكُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. Why do I see you people becoming upset when I'm saying this hadith? I'm saying this hadith, the neighbor has a right to do whatever he wants to in his side of piece of land. You cannot stop him. Why do I see you becoming upset when I'm narrating this hadith? And then he goes on to mention, وَاللَّهِ لَأَرْمِيَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ أَكْتَافِكُمْ. I swear by Allah, I will throw this hadith between your shoulders. Meaning, whether you accept this hadith from me or not, or you don't like it or not, this is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will, throw it on your faces. You have to accept. This is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why are you hesitating? If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the neighbor is entitled to do whatever he wants to do with his side of the land, as long as he does not go into your side of the land, why are you hesitating? So the ulama have mentioned, this is Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's jalal. This is Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's passion for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, the fuqaha have mentioned, when a neighbor is doing any form of construction, it is better for that neighbor to actually ask his neighbor. And it is from the rights of the neighbor. It is from the rights of the neighbor. I mentioned all of this because this is the mizaj. This is how we understand how different sahaba were. Some sahaba had a great emphasis of fiqh, understanding. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, let's put it in context, let's try and understand it. Let's try and see how we can, in certain situations we might do this, in certain situations we may not. This is known as faqaha, understanding. And some sahaba were so passionate about the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said something, why are we looking left or right? Why are you using your brain to try and think, you know, what the hadith is trying to say? Rasulullah said something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is black and white, and we're going to accept it the way it is. And this is how Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's mizaj and mentality was. So he's saying, Rasulullah is saying, if someone wants to build something on their land, doesn't matter how big that building is, doesn't matter how much harm is going to the next door person, they're blocking out their sunlight or they're making it difficult for them, doesn't matter, he has the right to do that. Why are you people showing displeasure when I am saying this hadith? But the ulama have said, this was Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu's passion and love for the hadith. Otherwise, if I am ever doing any form of construction or something which I know will affect my neighbor, I should always ask them. I should always seek their permission. I should always try to come to some kind of common ground. Can I do it in such a way where you're not affected? Maybe if I did it in this certain way, it won't affect you and both of us will be happy. We should always try to come to that. Because at the end of the day, if I don't do that, my neighbor will be hurt. And this still will fall into the category of causing harm to one's neighbor. Inshallah, I'm going to mention one more hadith, inshallah, and we'll stop. The next hadith is also narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning three qualities which are necessary for every Muslim. Three qualities which are necessary for every Muslim. No Muslim can be without these three qualities. So he mentions the first quality, whoever believes in Allah and the last day. Whoever believes in Allah ta'ala and the Akhirat, meaning every mu'min believes in Allah and the Akhirat, فَلَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. He should not harm his neighbor. Someone who believes in Allah and the hereafter, the Akhirah, meaning someone who is a Muslim, regards himself to be a Muslim, will not harm their neighbor at all. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah Ta'ala and the hereafter, they should honor their guest. They should do mihman nawazi, they should honor their guest. Again, this is from the quality of a Muslim. Every single Muslim needs to have this first quality of never causing any inconvenience to one's neighbor, and secondly, to be being hospitable to one's guests. Being hospitable to one's guest. This does not have to mean that a person goes and invites people to their home, but it means that when someone comes in the form of a guest, then they have rights over us. And what's the right? The right, the main, the wajib haq, the necessary haq that a guest has over us is one day and one night we should feed them. One day and one night. If a guest wants to stay in our house for one day and one night, we have to be hospitable to them, we have to accommodate them. Of course, guests also need to be understanding of situations, but if the guest wants to impose that right upon their host, the host has to accept one day and one night. This is the right. And beyond that, it's something which is preferable 3 days and three nights. But if a person does not have the ability to do so, one day and one night is necessary. To the extent it will come later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that someone whose guest is not, whose host is not being hospitable to them for one day, one night, they can forcefully go and they can extract their haq. Meaning they can go to their guest's host's house and they can take their right. Because it's a right, it's a haq of theirs. On the day of Qiyamah, it's all going to be about haq. When we stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, the accountability, the hisab, is going to be all about huquq, rights. Rights of your parents, rights of your children, rights of your spouse, rights of your relatives, rights of your neighbors, rights of your friends, your colleagues. Last week we mentioned the ayat of the Qur'an where Allah Ta'ala mentions 8 different rights. One of them is وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. A person's companion, a friend. Someone who is my friend also has certain rights over me. What are those rights? Identifying what those rights are and then fulfilling those rights. Because Allah Ta'ala will ask me about them on the Day of Qiyamah. Day of Qiyamah is all about huquq. Huququllah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, and huquq al-ibad, the rights of the creation. Every question is going to be about rights. Someone who fulfilled all of their huquq in the dunya, Allah's huquq and the rights of the servants, rights of the creation, they will have a very easy journey through. And someone who had shortcomings in the rights of the servants, maybe they performed their salah, maybe they gave their zakat, maybe they fasted in Ramadan, but they did not fulfill the rights of their parents, they did not fulfill the rights of their neighbors, they did not fulfill the rights of their guests, this person is going to be stuck. This person is going to be in trouble. Allah Ta'ala protect us and Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. And the last advice in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. I'm going to, inshallah, explain this part of the hadith next week because it's going to be a bit lengthy. Inshallah, we have a jamaat here as well and I feel like they're probably supposed to leave after Maghrib. And I've probably taken too much of their time. So I ask for their forgiveness as well. And I ask for your forgiveness that I haven't been here over the weekend. I've been extremely busy. And after Asr, we had a program in Oldham, actually, in CLC. There was a fiqh of fasting program, and then I had to talk just before that there. So it became a bit busy, unfortunately. So I ask your forgiveness for our shortcomings as a community. And we do dua, and we ask you that you do dua for us, our community, that Allah Ta'ala creates those people in this community who take the work of deen forward and who Allah Ta'ala accepts for the effort of deen, inshallah. جزاك الله خيرا سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك